Years ago, I heard about the fellow that had three theories about child raising before he had children. And then after he had three children, he didn't have any theories anymore. The reason being, it's very challenging. I've probably got 50 to 75 books in my library on the family, a home and marriage and so forth. But one of my goals in this message here today is, as I've already said, we need a direct connect with God. It's not enough to get it second-handed. I tell you, one of the problems is, have you ever noticed how many different views there are in the Christian world? How many different takes there are? Well, it's lots of books with lots of information, and they don't always agree. But even with the helps of others, and I'm not against the books, I'm not against the multitude of counselors, I'm saying it's a blessed thing in your life when you know you're shut up only to God to get the answers you need. Because it's the only way we're going to get those answers we need. We've got to be shut up to Him. It's got to be a work of God. It's got to be what we in our own personal life are getting from Him. I was so blessed this week when Stephen and I met with Pastor Suresh, and he was facing some visa issues. And he began to share in the crisis of the visa situation how he went to the Scripture and how the Holy Spirit led him to the Scripture he needed for the crisis of the moment. That happened many times in my history of situations in our family where there's some kind of a very challenging situation and I needed a word from God. I needed the wisdom of God. I needed the understanding of God. And the only place to find that is in God's Word. I remember it being at Keswick at a pastor's conference in New Jersey years ago. And the preacher had done speaking, and the pastors were talking. And I heard one pastor say, "Well, what do you think of the message?" And he said, "Well, you got to chew up the meat and spit out the bones." And, you know, that's kind of always true because it doesn't matter whether it's a pastor or who it is, we're a work in progress and we don't always perfect. We see through a glass darkly. We're a work in progress. We're all growing in our understanding of the Scriptures. And it's been my experience over the years that about the time I think I understand something properly, God says, "Just hang on, please. You're not quite there yet. There's some fine tuning that needs to be made." So one thing about teaching children is you've got to be a co-learner. Listen, don't try to fake your way through as parents. The kids already know, the sons and daughters already know, mom and dad don't have it all together. So no need of trying to, you know, make an impression of it. And we certainly know it as parents. We certainly know, you know, it's like jumping into deep water and you don't know how to swim. And what in the world? How is this all going to work out? And God's got to work supernaturally. But does God talk about discipline of us as believers in Hebrews chapter 12? My goal here in the early part of the message is to expand the wisdom you need as a parent so that you may not be talking about children, but there's wisdom there that we're missing as to how to have a godly home based on God's Word. And there's places in God's Word where there's wisdom I don't think we're always getting in relation to the family and the home. But in Hebrews 12, God talks about discipline. And it says, if you are truly a child of God, those whom God loves, if you are truly a child of God, what does He do? Every one of us, if we're truly a child of God, are we constantly under God's disciplined care? Is God disciplining us as parents? Do our kids need to know that? Do our kids need to know, just as we as parents are have a responsibility to discipline you, we under God are being disciplined by Him. We are co-learners together in this. We're not perfect. We have a responsibility, and we have the authority that God's given us, but we want you to know we're pressing on the upward way, and as a family, what are we doing? New heights we're gaining every day. Now, I'm not minimizing the parents' authority, but I'm telling you, sometimes we come across authoritarian in our discipline, and the kids know we don't. There's things in our own life that needs to be disciplined that we haven't got right with the Lord yet. So here in Ephesians 5, the context of Ephesians 5 is the greater context is that God tells us, "Be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit." We're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We could say a lot about that in the same way we could say a lot about grace. God says it's not by human might. It's not by human power that his work gets done. What does God say? Not by might, not by power, but by what? But by my Spirit. And so he talks about the filling of the Holy Spirit, and then he starts talking to the wives, and then he starts talking to the husbands, and then he starts talking to the children, and then he starts talking to the fathers and so forth and so on. But it's all predicated upon the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The constant need to walk in the Spirit. The constant need to be filled with the Spirit. Spirit-filled parenting. Spirit-filled marriage relationship. You say, what are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm trying to say if we're going to get this right, we've got to understand the what the Bible teaches about the fullness of the Spirit. The Lord Jesus in John 14, 15, and 16 spent a lot of time talking about, once I go back to heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And he went into great detail to tell us all the resources we have because of the Spirit's presence in our life, because of the Spirit's enabling in our life. For one thing, he said the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you if you're a believer and you have the Holy Spirit living within you. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into how much of the truth? All the truth. That's very important. Do I need desperately to know the truth in parenting so I can teach the truth and live the truth and so forth and so on? So you say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm saying, when you see the teaching of the Bible about the Holy Spirit, relate it to your parenting. When you see teaching in the Bible about shepherding, relate it to your parenting. There's many words you could use, like if there was a book out there that had a title, How Do You Raise Up Godly Children, so forth and so on. There's different words. Here it says, bring them up. There's different words you could use when you talk about what it means to parent. And the word I like the most is shepherding. Shepherding. Because our goal as parents is to shepherd the sons and daughters' hearts so they can learn how to be shepherded by the great shepherd of the sheep. Our goal is not just for them to hear our voice as parents. Our goal is to teach them how to hear God's voice. That's the goal. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And so if you see something about shepherding in the Bible, relate it to your parenting. That means that if you're looking at the pastoral epistles, when Paul wrote the pastoral epistles, is there a lot in the pastoral epistles when a pastor is shepherding a local flock of believers? Is there a lot in there you can learn about parenting from the pastoral epistles? It's just like a wealth of wisdom, a wealth of understanding. And we don't always think of it that way. You know, it talks about if a man doesn't know how to rule his own family or shepherd his own family, how could he ever think about shepherding what? The church of God. So the principles of shepherding are the same, whether it's over a congregation of people or whether it's a family. There's much wisdom there when it comes to shepherding and parenting. And much wisdom there when it comes to the fullness of the Spirit and parenting. There's much wisdom there when it comes to discipling. The Great Commission for us as believers is we are to make disciples. Now, how could that not be? Where's the most critical place that that needs to happen? The most critical place that it needs to happen is in the home. And so every time it talks about discipleship, every time the Lord Jesus spoke about discipleship, every time you see that in the Bible, relate it to parenting. What does God say about discipling, and how does that relate to my discipling of the sons and daughters that God has given me? You know, don't just think of it in terms of evangelism and missions and the normal type of parameters. There's a wealth of wisdom in God's Word. Now, here's what God says. God says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the parents might be somewhat furnished. I'm misquoting on purpose. No, it says that the parents are the man of God, whoever's got a responsibility under God may be how furnished? Does God have what you need in His Word when it comes to parenting? I would encourage you to spend more time in God's Word and then use the books as subsidiary. If I'm reading a book and there's 10 pages, 15 pages of what's being given, I'm talking about a Christian book now, and there's no scripture references, I kind of get uneasy. I want to know when the words are being spoken, whatever is being communicated, where is that found? Where is that found in God's Word? Because, for instance, when Paul ministered the Word of God, it says the Bereans believers, searched the Scriptures daily to see if what Paul was saying lined up with the Word of God. So where is the authority? Where is the final authority? Where is the final resource? It's got to be God's Word. And God tells us everything we need is there. Sometimes we don't relate it to parenting, but it's there. There's nuggets of truth that are there. And crying out to God. Crying out to God. I'm talking about verbally crying out to God and say, God, I need wisdom. I need wisdom from you. I can tell you many testimonies. I was in a hard place as to the shepherding, as to the discipling, as to the training. And I was trying to get as much counsel as I could. Some of the counsel didn't agree. Some of the counsel I had question marks in my spirit about. I said, God, what is your will? I tell you, God delights to show you His will when you cry out to Him. And when He shows it to you, where is He going to show it to you? In His Word. And it happened many times, and I'm not saying it happened perfectly in my life. I'm not saying, you know, I always did it right and so forth and so on. But there was enough times that it happened, I know God's faithful to His Word. And He showed me many times, do not lean on what? Do not lean on your own understanding. Go to my word and let the Holy Spirit show you what you need. Now, that's just trying to expand the horizon of the resources that are in God's word. There's lots there that we may not relate to parenting. We usually keep it in the context of the other areas, but there's lots there to be gained from application to the home and family. Now, I want to talk about the priority of parenting. The priority of parenting. Talk about the Holy Spirit in parenting. We talked about the resources of parenting in God's Word. Now we're talking about the priority of parenting. And if I ask you, what is the priority of parenting? Or if I ask myself, what is the priority of parenting? What is the greatest thing that I can do for the sons and daughters that God has entrusted to me? in order to impart to them what they need. Well, I'll tell you who it starts with. It starts with drawing a circle around yourself. Now, in the scripture, let me mention a few times here. In Acts, Paul was addressing the elders, and he said, I'm getting ready to leave here, and I know that after my departing, this is Acts chapter 20, after my departing, grievous wolves will try to come in. Is there any darkness out there in the world trying to infiltrate the home and the family and our sons and daughters' life? Is there any wolves out there in sheep's clothing that's wanting to come in? Do we as parents have to be alert to this danger of the wolves coming into the home? Well, how do we prepare our children and prepare our family, and how can we be the spiritual overseer, the spiritual protector from such things? Well, first thing that he said to the elders is, take heed. And he said, take heed, give attention to this. Number one priority, he said to these elders, take heed to who? Yourself. Take heed to yourself. Number one priority is my example. Your example. You've heard me say many times, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Very true. The greatest sermon is not being preached behind the pulpit. The greatest sermon is preached in the parsonage. It's got to be a life message. In the Old Testament, it tells parents to take heed. Take heed to yourself. Same words that it uses in the New Testament to the elders. Take heed to yourself before you try to teach your children. That's why I mentioned what I did about discipline. If I'm not paying attention to the discipline that God's doing in my life, and then I'm trying to teach the sons and daughters to respond to my discipline, quite possibly I'm going to provoke them to wrath, because there's some carnality that God's dealing with in my life that I'm not paying attention to. That's one way to provoke sons and daughters to wrath, is hypocrisy of what's happening in the parents' life, requiring things of our sons and daughters, but we're not willing to respond to God in our own life about things. Now, 1 Timothy 4, this is when Paul was writing to a pastor. We talked about the elders, now we're talking about a pastor shepherding, elders shepherding. Here's what Paul said to Timothy. He said, take heed. Same thing it's in the Old Testament to parents. Same thing in the New Testament to elders. Same thing Paul says to pastors. Take heed to who? Yourself. Before you preach to others, take heed to yourself. I mentioned last Sunday that in the wee hours of the morning, I was praying about preaching on patience. And who did God start dealing with about it? He said, don't get up and preach on patience if you're not willing to face in your own life what I'm trying to show you about patience. Don't get up and preach about it. You need to respond to what I'm showing you before you try to teach anybody about it. Amen? I need to respond to the discipline of the Lord before I try to teach with my words my own life. The best message that impacts other lives, a message prepared in the head reaches other people's heads, right? A message prepared in the heart reaches other people's hearts. A message prepared in your life, a life message, it impacts other people's lives. So the number one priority of parenting is our own example. There's a lot more I could say about that. I had a quote I want to read, but I'm running out of time. Now, I want to talk about the nurture and admonition, and the first word has to do with the character of the child, and the second word has to do with the mind of the child. The nurture and admonition, the character and the mind. We're talking about the formation of the character, which has to do with the will. Now, if you've been a parent, if you got a newborn infant, you will discover very quickly that babies have, I believe all children have a strong will. I'll just make that plain to you. I mean, some of them, it's more obvious than others. But the Bible says that foolishness, and listen, if you don't believe in the depravity of man as a parent, that's the first place you want to go in the Bible to study. First place you need to go to understand parenting is the total depravity of man, that we are born, we are conceived, as David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. We don't become a sinner when we sin. We sin because we are sinners. You don't have to work all day long to teach any son or daughter to be selfish. It will emerge. It will be manifested. Now, I don't have time to read this quote by Susanna Wesley. Now, Susanna Wesley, in her parenting, she has some really good comments about the will of the child. If you do a search on Susanna Wesley and John R. Rice's book, The Home, the quotes are all found in his book about how she taught her children as to the will of the child. She had lots of insight. She had 19 children. She had lots of experience. You know, John Wesley and Charles Wesley was a part of the bunch. And some of the best comments I've ever seen about the molding, the goal of parenting is to bring the child to the brokenness and yieldingness of the will without wounding the spirit of the child, without provoking the child to wrath. It's a very delicate situation. It's a very delicate situation that you bring them to the place of a broken will, which is the same place every one of us has got to come to. Amen? And so if I said to, I got a six-year-old, and I said to my six-year-old concerning the brother toddler, I said, now, you see, your brother toddler there is about to touch the hot iron. And you see, daddy's trying to make sure that that toddler baby knows the word no. You can't do that. Now, that's not being harsh. It's not being harsh that children understand the word no. You can't do that. Because if you touch the hot iron, are there negative, terrible consequences? Now, the root problem that we all have to come to grips with, whether it's parenting or life, is we have turned, the Bible says we have turned every one of us has turned to what? Our own way. And if children get their own way, a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. Children need to learn the devastating consequences of being stubborn. And by the way, I try to paint vivid pictures here. I try to really paint this dramatically. In the Old Testament, I'm talking about when I'm parenting, you know, the Bible says rebellion, being self-willed and insisting on your own way, rebellion is like what? Which sin? Anybody remember? The Bible says rebellion is like witchcraft. This is serious business. It is serious business for me not to expose myself to the realm and power of Satan's domain. This is very serious business. That I have a brokenness and a yieldingness to those in authority over me, and most of all, a brokenness and a yieldingness to God's authority. The devil is like a roaring lion. I try to paint it. Sometimes I'll draw it if I need to. The devil is like a roaring lion. He's looking for sons and daughters that are vulnerable that he can devour. Oh, what kind of sons and daughters can he devour? Those that have not learned to yield their will. Those that have not learned, yes, I have to learn, I can't have my own way. Because if I get in the driver's seat of my life without Jesus Christ and without the grace of God and without the Holy Spirit and without the Word of God, if I'm in the driver's seat of my life, it's going to be a very messed up situation. So I said to my six-year-old, what would you think about you and I going up in an airplane? We got the pilot there that knows how to fly the plane, but Daddy insists on his own will that he wants to fly the plane. We're not going to let the pilot fly the plane. Daddy's going to fly the plane. I don't know a thing about flying the plane. We're going to have some pretty terrible situations going. I mean, paint it whatever way you need to paint it, but listen, we need to present it so that the sons and daughters see the wisdom of it. The sons and daughters get the understanding of it. They embrace it because they say, look, it's foolish for me to continue in self-will that's going to bring me down to the horrible pits of life when I could enter into the blessedness of life by yielding my will to God, yielding my will to my parents. And if we are not examples, like when it talks about the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, it talks about one of the results of the filling of the Holy Spirit is in the body of Christ, we submit ourselves one to another. Now, if our children pick up that that's not happening in our relationship with other adults because of the infilling of the Holy Spirit not being there, will that impact the parenting of trying to get them to yield their will? We've got to be examples of submitting. We've got to be examples of being accountable. We've got to be examples of anything we're trying to teach. And it can only be done as many times as parents, we may have to say, would you please forgive me? Would you please forgive me? I did not handle this situation with you properly. Would you please forgive me? I did this. What I just did was with an angry spirit. What does the Bible say about an angry spirit? It says the wrath of man does not work what? So am I going to ever get the results I need if I discipline in anger? No, it says the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Furthermore, it says you don't want to hang around an angry man. Proverbs talks about staying away from an angry man, lest the spirit of what's going on in his life rub off on you. There's lots of warnings about anger. And so that's one of the things that provokes sons and daughters to wrath. So you say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? What's the number one priority? Number one priority is take heed to yourself. And then what's the admonition and the nurture? The nurture has to do with forming the will of the child. And the proper discipline of bringing all of us to denying ourselves and not being full of ourselves and being in the driver's seat of our life. Listen, have I got to be modeling that if I'm teaching that? If I'm in the driver's seat of my life with some of the things and I'm not really listening to God about letting him be in the driver's seat, it's going to be, again, provoking the children to wrath. There's got to be consistency there. All right, well, lots could be said. I want to just finish with this. I got 1 minute left. Somehow, some way, you've got to keep the Word of God before your children's minds. It's got to be. It's an absolute necessity. There's lots of ways to do it. But this admonition has to do with keeping the Word of God before the minds of your sons and daughters. And when Paul said to Timothy, there's apostasy in the world, and the way you guard the church from apostasy is make sure you preach what? Preach the word. And on and on and on it goes. I could just give you all the scriptures. But the word of God has got to be constantly. You know, in the Old Testament it said they put it, they wrote it on their They put it on their forehead. I mean, you know, lots of ways to keep the word, but it's got to be the spirit of it, not the letter of it. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we ask you to bless this baby dedication time, that the grace, that parents would be heirs together of the grace of life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.